Today on the Science and Spirituality podcast, we interviewed Alex McFarland, who is an entrepreneur, a writer, and a financial advisor. His work in these areas focuses on utilizing Zen Buddhism with Western ways of life as one. And we really got into that actually in his whole journey of navigating long COVID and healing. It really did come from both Eastern and Western approaches to healing.
Yeah, and even if you don't know anyone or you personally don't have long COVID, like we really were able to relate this episode to moving through difficult times and like how to access like the strength in your body and the strength in your faith and the strength in like a higher power and like what to actually do with your mindset when you're going through difficult times. And so anyone who listens to this episode will be able to glean a lot of, good stuff from it.
Exactly. It was a great episode. Enjoy.
Yep. Enjoy. Welcome to the Science and Spirituality Podcast, where we dive deep into universal spiritual principles and ground them in modern science. My name is Chris Carden.
And my name is Kevin Carden, and we are committed to simplifying the spiritual side of success for you with easy-to-understand scientific research so you can walk away with practical tools to create radical transformations in your life. Let's get started. So, Alex, it's good to have you here. Looking forward to this conversation. I mean, personally as a friend, but then also just really curious to hear your journey with long COVID and how you healed. So, thanks for being here.
Of course, thank you so much for having me. It's so good to see you guys. And yeah, I'm excited for this conversation.
Yeah, let's do it. So, tell us your journey because it's been a long journey for you, and I know parts of it obviously since we hang out, but just share your journey of like what had gone on for you.
My life changed very dramatically in July 2021. July 9th, 2021 was the exact date. Before this point, I was very active and an athletic person. Sports competed my whole life and was very healthy. And on July 9th, let's back up 10 days prior to July 9th. 2021, if everyone remembers going back into that time period, it was when COVID was at its peak. The Delta strain, or one of the strains, was becoming very prominent and people were freaking out. And COVID vaccines were beginning to become really important against the battle on the front line at the time for people to take in order for COVID not to spread. So 10 days before July 9th, I get exposed to COVID, and I had had COVID a couple times. It was no big deal. I was tired, but I got over it pretty quick. 10 days prior to July 9th, I got exposed. And then 5 days after exposure, I tested negative for COVID, and I had a vaccine plan 5 days after the exposure date, or sort of 5 days after my negative COVID test date. So 10 days after exposure, I had the vaccine. And when I received the mRNA vaccine, I ended up becoming bedridden for a couple of months. And then I was out of work for about six, and my journey and my life changed completely for the next year. And so that's the beginning of the story and what happened. And there's a lot of details that go into that as well.
Was the vaccine that you got after you were exposed to COVID your first COVID vaccine or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, it was. Yeah. And at the time, the administrations had said if you've been exposed to COVID, you can take a vaccine within 10 days of exposure. And they had since and then had pushed that back now. I think it's like 70 to 80 days. So the
Wow.
time periods that have shifted have changed quite dramatically since the science has come out. But at that time period, people were lining up to take vaccines. And I was a little skeptical. I'd waited about 6 months to make sure everything was going to be okay. My friends and family and everything was fine. And I ended up being a person that got affected by it. And it transmuted into long COVID, which we'll talk about more in detail, which are COVID symptoms that last for periods longer than a month. And for me, it lasted about a year plus.
Jeez. I was gonna say that July 9th, 2021, that was the month that I got COVID too. So it's kind of funny. I had it around the same time as you, the Delta variant.
The Delta, yeah.
And yeah, dude, the Delta variant was pretty bad. Like that was the sickest I've ever been, probably in a long time, maybe since Kev, when we got exposed to the swine flu back in 2009 at our school.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was, 103 fever for like 2 or 3 days. Like, you know what I mean? Like in bed, like I lost my sense of taste, sense of smell. And
Yeah.
to be honest with you, like the fever and feeling sick, that wasn't even the worst part of it. The worst part of it was like when I started to feel better and I lost my sense of taste and smell. 'Cause like everything I ate, I just wanted to throw up because there was no taste. It was like the weirdest thing. I didn't think that it would be that bad, but it was like I couldn't wait to get that sense of taste and smell back. It was so weird.
That's so bizarre. It's such a trip.
So yeah, like let's it'd be cool to hear your experience, like what you went through with
Yeah.
COVID and how that, felt for you and everything. And I guess like was there a time period where you were like, wow, like I'm not getting better, like what's going on?
Yeah, I was getting worse actually. So, I felt great getting the vaccine. The day of, like, I felt awesome. I wasn't exhibiting any symptoms, so I thought I was good to go. And a couple of days after I got the vaccine, I wasn't able to walk and I was bedridden for a couple of months. And so I wouldn't be able to move more than 20 feet in a day. The first week, I started experiencing deep pain in my neck and shoulders that moved up to my head, and then migraines started to form and I wasn't able to sleep. And so for the first week, I was experiencing this physical pain along with this unable to sleep symptom that led me to week two, where I have no memory of. And it was almost like I had dementia. It was insane. I don't remember sending texts or emails. I have records of what I was doing because I was still trying to work at the time. No records of, or sorry, I didn't have any idea of what I was doing, but I have records of my texts and my emails, but I had no recollection of sending these emails or texts. So when I looked back on that, a couple of days after I would send something, I started getting really worried. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not remembering what I'm doing. Am I losing my mind while I'm also losing the ability to function in my body? And that week was incredibly scary. And then week three happened, and I started coming out of the memory loss phase and into the depth of my illness. And this is where I wasn't able to function at all. To sending text was pretty much impossible. I couldn't really remember what I was doing. I'm in finance, so remembering how to do anything analytical was just thrown out the window. And then my body wasn't able to function, and just moving ached and hurt. And so that lasted for about 3 months. And during those 3 months, I was just focusing on trying to get better physically. My mind, was a concern of mine, but I just wanted to be able to move again. And when you lose your ability to function with your legs and your body, it's really terrifying. And doctors, so I would see doctors and ask them, what the heck is going on? And no one had answers. There was no clear path about how to navigate this. There weren't any directions that I was receiving. It was more of a shock that, I'd tell doctors that I had received an mRNA vaccine. And it could have been that, or could have been new exposure to COVID with the mRNA vaccine, and they didn't know. And so I was left with a feeling of lostness and unable to know how to navigate this, what to do, and who to turn to. And then, yeah, it opened up a bit more after I got the ability to move my legs. And that was in October or so of 2021.
Alex, let me ask this really quick. When you're going to all the doctors, did they run blood work and stuff, and like everything came back clean? They were like, we don't know what's going on.
That was one of the biggest mysteries, is all my blood work is clean. Eventually, as my sodium levels started getting pretty low in my blood, and doctors were saying, how much water are you drinking? And I was drinking tons of water because I was feeling dehydrated all the time. And so my sodium levels were so low because I was drinking so much water. So I had to start implementing supplements into my water, magnesium and sodium drops called trace mineral drops that gave me the ability to function, which is essential for people with long COVID. And we'll talk a bit about nutrients that helped me at some point for.
Before we do go on to that, because I think that is probably the most interesting part of your journey, is not obviously what had happened, because maybe to this day it's still a mystery, but again, how you recovered, like you said. But just to clarify, because I think, on these episodes, I over years now of interviewing people, I have this like sixth sense, like to hear some questions that our future listeners would might be curious about, or like having as the thought in their mind. And this is the first thing that came to my mind. It's like someone thinking like, but oh, like maybe you're older, maybe you had some pre-existing condition, maybe you had this or that, but like I know, but for you to share like your age and like I know you said you're athletic, but like unpack that a little bit more, because I think that's really important to see, like it's not anything prior.
Yeah, it's a great question. So I was 33 when I got the in July 9, 2021. And I've been athletic and competitive in sports my whole life. And so I was working out 6 days a week prior to this point. And it was the summertime. It's feeling great. Everything was lining up, and my body and my mind were on point. I was hitting a high in life. So I was actually one of the most, I made more money than I ever had at that point in my life. My body was one of those healthiest places, and I was in a relationship that was going so well. All three of those things collapsed. So yeah, there wasn't anything prior that had necessarily triggered it. It just happened.
Right. It's crazy.
Yeah, the question that comes to my mind after hearing all that too, and kind of seems like, but not seems like, you literally just said that you're kind of at the high of your life like before this happened. And then just hearing your story, even just the beginning of it, just how, the stages of what you went through and how it got worse, then it started to get a little better, and you couldn't get answers and everything. Like, was there something that, like, I guess kept you going through that time to be like, there's gotta be an answer? Like, what was your mindset throughout all that? And like, how did you kind of like move through that?
Yeah, my family and my relationship with my girlfriend at the time really gave me the support structure I needed to continue to move forward. I had people come and check on me. I was also, hesitant just to reach out. It's strange when you get sick because you don't want to get help. I'm not sure if you guys have experienced that before, but
Yeah,
it's
no,
easier to
it's
help than to receive
yeah.
help. And but once I started opening up and having people, give me groceries or just help me out on the day-to-day routines and know that I had a support structure, it gave me the base for believing that I could move through it. So I needed to have that support structure first and foremost. And then eventually I began to start finding out ways to change my diet and going into all the different nutrients and supplements, and then eventually body work techniques with doctors, and then going deep into the mind and making sure that I was okay mentally.
I'd be down to dive into that actually. Like, so the, we talk a lot about on this podcast about the interaction between mind and body. And I guess we've never explicitly said this, but it's like, it's really hard to kind of work on, your mindset and like spirituality when your body feels broken. Like, it's just so present because it's physically, you just don't feel good. So like, I guess what were the things that you started to do to kind of move through that? And where did you find that information? And, just kind of unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, so my background comes from a long time of meditation. So I started meditating when I was in my mid-20s. And so meditation has always been a really prominent part of my life. And in the first 3 months, I wasn't able to meditate. So I was just too painful to sit in the ground. I was laying down in my bed mostly. So what I had to do was begin just to slowly every day, just say one step after the other, and peek my head outside and get some sunlight. And then the vitamin D and then that feeling of energy from the sun gave me a little bit of movement to allow myself to function more so, because it had that almost like that power, that energy to remember that, hey, I'm still here and there's still life outside. Things are still happening. It's summertime. Okay, like it's not all lost. And so I just had to give myself little reminders like that. I would look at plants, I would just walk outside in the grass with my bare feet, and then just make sure that I remembered that I wasn't, alone, that I was still connected, that there were still were things out there that were very much important to me that I wasn't going to lose sight of.
I think that's a good lesson for anyone who's going through something super difficult too. Because again, what I'm hearing is like that, like taking it one day at a time and like doing what you can do at the moment and kind of just not giving up hope. Because I mean, again, like just hearing your story, like it kind of sounds like it could have been easy to give up hope. You know what I mean? Like no answers, like just feeling like crap. Like, and again, just coming off of like the high of your life, like it really sounds like it could have been something that broke you, but you kind of found a way to move through that. And seems like you came out stronger. With this ability to help people and, so.
Yeah, I felt that there was some type of I did lose hope. There were time periods where I felt like it was lost. But I kept thinking in my head, just one foot after the other, just one foot after the other, just keep on moving, just keep on moving. And then I would have moments, of the sun hitting my face, or just some type of little small thing that would just keep me going. And then I started, journaling everything that was happening to me. So a lot of the stuff that was going on, I documented because I first of all needed to process it. And second of all, I wanted to make sure that, you know, that people knew what was happening to me, if I needed to bring this to doctors, and eventually it formed into a book.
Which I'm curious, Alex, because obviously this is a thing that you offer now. Like you mentioned, like the book, which we'll get to more specifically, but like when you started documenting, I'm wondering if you had this as a vision in your future of like, oh, like I could help someone with through this, or is it more so just focused on you and your healing?
Yeah, you know, I never thought it would come to this point at all. I never thought I'd be a person to help people move and navigate through chronic illness or long COVID or vaccine reactions. It was for me in the beginning. I needed to find out how to just process all of the things that were going on. And journaling became a very important part of what I could do, because I couldn't do much, and I could write, you know, every once in a while and put things in my phone and text or put some notes in my phone. But I never thought it would turn into what it is now. And I had to dive deep to get to that point, because I questioned why this was happening for so long.
Right.
And those questions have made me angry and turned myself into a deep sadness. And then I had to dive deep into my faith and remember that maybe there's a purpose to all of this.
Go ahead, Kev.
I think you're about to ask exactly.
I was just going to say, can you actually like unpack that a little bit? Like yeah. You know, in terms of, I don't know if the term used is like reconnecting with your faith, but like, what were like those things that you did to kind of help A, I guess, keep you sane and keep hope, and then B, like start to actually move through this and actually start to see, oh, maybe this is happening for some type of bigger purpose.
Totally. Yeah. The first thing that I had to do was give myself patience in the healing process and not try to rush anything. That's a really big one, I think, for anyone who's going through illness, is trying to get better quickly. Life, unfortunately, doesn't give you those answers fast. You're going to have to move through them slowly. And so for me, the first and foremost, most important thing I'd do was set up a baseline of how to function when I was feeling really sick. And I would go through waves. Like, I would feel better some days, worse other days. And the days I felt worse, I had a routine. And I call it, and I'd have like these mental health days, I would call them, where I had a list of things that I would do. And the list of things would go into the first morning or when I wake up, just check in and see how I feel. If I'm feeling sick, then okay, move to step two, sit down, stretch, make sure I have a big glass of water with some trace mineral drops, get some sodium in me, then eat some protein, and then move forward with the day, knowing that I'm probably going to be sick for a couple of days, maybe the next week, and have a list of shows or movies that are funny that I can tap into, a list of friends that I'll reach out to, and just let them know what's happening, and then having that support system, and then finding my diet, dialing in vitamin D, the nutrients that gave me those feelings of the feelings of happiness, serotonin, dopamine, and oxytocin. And that list of 9 things that I would have during my mental health day gave me the foundation to move forward into becoming okay with when they would pop up. Because when it would come, and the bad days would come before this point, I would be really angry and I wouldn't know what to do, because it lasted for months and months and months and months. We're talking like about a year. And so that was the first and foremost important thing, to have that list for the mental health day. And then from that point, I started finding the days where I did feel good and going into meditation. And when I did the meditations, you know, this is month 6 or 7, I would just feel the sadness and feel the emotions that were circling around my body, and processing what was actually happening to me on a different level than my physical, and realizing that I had to tap into that on the good days. So bad days, focus on the physical and mental, and then the good days could dive into what's unraveling for me. And during those unraveling periods in meditation, I started to experience some pretty wild things, where I began to know that I wasn't alone in this process and that there was someone watching out for me. And there are a number of 2 main experiences that happened along that path that gave me the courage to keep on pushing forward, because I knew that there was something bigger than me that was watching out, and there was some type of plan. And it sounds, you know, kind of wild, but that's what happened. I started seeing things.
Can you talk a little bit about the, I guess the power of the force that was bigger than you, that was kind of helping you? Like what did that feel like? Cause again, it kind of sounds like you're describing like like a God figure, like some like universal intelligence or something. So I just want to see your thoughts on describing that and, you know, what it felt like.
You know, I call it universe or God or whatever is the term you want to use, that is that force that sort of moves through you in time periods when you need it the most. Faith, belief, just a belief in yourself, self-love, lots of different words to describe it. But there are times when, you know, you're so lost in life, when you don't have the ability to function, or you might have like a deep depression you're going through, something that's changed dramatically in your life. And it's in those time periods that you can choose to feel and move through those emotions and tap into something that can give you the strength. And that's usually something that can come from outside of you, or the feeling of growth from within you, that the outside force can either help you navigate and understand that and remind you that that's there, or you just remember that you've got that strength. And, you know, everyone goes through those types of periods in their life. And when you do go through those periods, it's almost like you can find yourself swimming in a deep, dark ocean. You know, you find your depth of emotions is so deep, and there's so many emotions to swim through. And when you get to the bottom of the ocean, you know, and you're lost and you feel like there's nothing left, it's usually then at that point when you find that strength, or something comes from another place that gives you those strengths, that strength to move forward and climb back out up to the top of the ocean, of the water. And when you come back out, you know, you bring out these ideas and these jewels essentially of wisdom, because you've experienced such depth of darkness that you can allow yourself to navigate compassion in the world in such a unique way. And I think that's the gift of the darkness, of what it can give you, is knowing and understanding that you can do anything once you get through something. And you also have the compassion to give it to the world as well, for people who are also feeling like you once did.
Beautifully said.
Yeah.
I'm curious if there's any particular how to do that that you might add or share. At least in my experience, it's kind of self-explanatory in and of itself, but I'm curious if you'd add, if there is any other perspective or any other things to add of like, well, how does one do that? Like, other than, because it's pretty straightforward again, of just facing those things, right? Accepting it, swimming through it is like you said, but is there anything else you would add to like the steps or the way through?
I think, you know, doing the things you need to do to feel okay on a day-to-day basis allows you to get to the process to feel. So sometimes you do have to quote unquote numb out. You do have to watch TV or do whatever you need to do to get your mind into a place of comfort in order to have those days when you do feel a bit better to tap into those feelings. And so for me, it was a two-step process. Like, if I need to watch TV and just do nothing, just allow myself to do nothing, find the art of doing nothing and find peace with that. And then from that point, it can move into the next step. And for me, it's just sitting with my feelings. And that can come meditation, it can come from walks, being outside, but anything that allows me to disconnect from the world, leave my phone and be by myself, and then just to feel. And, you know, to feel is, it's quite the thing because there's a lot of ways to do it for certain people. A lot of us choose not to, but once you choose to really feel what's happening with you and your emotions in your life, that's when you start to see something that's different in the world. And you start to really cleanse, because you're shedding old skin and you're beginning to understand what the world looks like with your feelings.
Yeah, I think that's like a huge thing with especially our society today, is this idea of like wanting to escape what we're actually feeling. And I think part of it is, you know, we don't really learn growing up how to process emotions, really. Like, we don't have a class on it or anything. And so I feel like a lot of us, if we don't get that education, you know, we tend to think that when I'm feeling bad, like, this isn't a good thing and I need to do something immediately to not feel like this. And we kind of get trapped in these cycles of avoiding and not really feeling things deeply. But I feel like it really isn't feeling those things deeply that you can kind of get an understanding of why you're feeling those things in the first place, and then kind of taking some stuff from there and like integrating it into who you are. And then you could bring that out to the world. It's like, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and it was with a psychologist, and he was saying that the whole goal of psychology is to understand like what people are afraid of and then get them to voluntarily face it. Wow. And I thought that that was so interesting because it was such a succinct way of describing psychology and what like most of us are running from. It's like, we all have these fears. And a lot of times it's this fear of being uncomfortable or this fear of like, let's say failure or whatever. And we tend to avoid those feelings, but then it just perpetuates them instead of actually facing them voluntarily and moving through them. So
yeah,
that to it. Yeah.
Love that. That's it, man. That's so true. Yeah. That's a great way to describe psychology. I never thought about it like that. But once you do, you know, begin to feel, it just moves your state into being into a whole different world. Crying is that first step. You know, most of the time, you know, we don't want to cry, or, you know, the feelings for guys in particular, it can be hard to cry, but that's like a step of feeling and processing and moving through your emotions. And I think of it almost as just washing away your old patterns, or your old skin, like the old things that, you know, you needed to have before, but now are beginning to lose the neediness that you have at the current moment.
Yeah. I have a question that's coming up in my mind right now is about, is there anything like going through this entire process, like now that you've made it through and like, you know, you've found a way to turn this into helping the world and helping other people through this, like, are you like maybe sort of a little bit grateful for what you went through? Like, is that possible? Like, do you feel that way at all?
Oh man, Chris, great question. Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm incredibly grateful. It's, I was so angry for so long in the first 6 months because I wanted justice and I wanted to figure out why this is happening to me. And then the anger, as it usually does, once you feel it enough, turns into deep sadness. And then from that sadness, you know, I started experiencing that level of faith that I needed to find in order to get myself through it. And when I started feeling those feelings of just being alive still and knowing that I could still breathe, it grounded that gratefulness into me every day where I wake up. And I'm grateful that this experience happened because I didn't really fully appreciate life to the extent I do now. I was living, you know, a beautiful life, and I still am, but I wake up, you know, really thanking the world that I'm still here. And there's a different step in my rhythm.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. It's interesting to hear you say that and to feel your energy as you're speaking those words, because, you know, many people in the world, I think, take it for granted of literally just being alive. And it can seem kind of, I don't know if the correct term for it is crass or like a cliche, like, oh, just being grateful for being alive, for whatever it's worth. Like, I think that's a challenge that a lot of people face, of really actually feeling and experiencing deep gratitude for just being here, just being alive. Like, there's always something we're looking for, like something external, something you need to do or be or change. And it's like, we're sacrificing the feeling of gratitude we can actually have now for the exchange of something, which usually ends up being not really real. Like, we get a certain thing and it's like, I don't feel any different. I don't actually feel that level of gratitude that I feel like I thought I would have when I had said thing or had that experience. But it's fascinating to hear that you had that experience and developed that through a challenge or a really dark place in your life.
Definitely. Yeah. It's, you know, when you experience any type of big challenge, you know, once you get out of it, if you keep on walking forward and you keep on moving forward, there's these lessons that you really start finding in all of it. And when you look back on everything, so then all of us, you know, when we go through things, we can look back on the hardest moments of our life. And I bet they're probably also the biggest growing moments of our life, the moments that transformed us and began a different journey for our entire existence. And if we remember that, remember the pain points are also like the launching points for where we can go next, can give you the strength that you need to move in forward to the next step when you're going through the pain, because we've all gone through a bunch of stuff. Just remember what that you've gone through and how you've navigated it, and keep that to your heart and acknowledge that. Remember that, you know, you have the ability to go through so many things. And then the gratitude of just that self-love that you can hold as well, and remembering that you are strong, you are capable, gives you that feeling of power that can really launch you through a lot of things in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just gonna, Kev, I wanted to speak a little bit to your point really quick about the gratitude thing and about like just, you know, waking up and feeling grateful for being alive. And that's kind of difficult for some people. And I think there's this idea that you know, the human body and the human brain gets very accustomed to certain things. And so like if you wake up every day and you wake up alive and healthy every day, you kind of start to take it for granted a little bit, unless you consciously bring that to mind every day and really feel it, and maybe even try to think about, what if I wasn't healthy, how would I feel? And so I feel like a lot of, like, we get to that place a lot of times when we go through things that are super difficult, because then it actually kind of jogs us out of that sense of normalcy. And it's like, oh shit, like, I actually have this, I used to have this thing that I should have been grateful for all the time. And now if I can get, do, I could, I'll do anything to get it back. And so I feel like just from that perspective, it's really important that all of us as humans go through times of suffering, because it's in those moments that we get jogged and we wake up to be like, oh wow, like, I did have it good. And like, once I get that back, I'll be even more grateful now that I have it, because I know what it feels like to lose it. And Alex, it kind of sounds like what happened with you too.
100%. Yeah. Nailed it. Yeah. Yeah. Once you lose something, you realize how important it can be to remember to hold that close to your heart and remember the gratefulness of just experiencing what that feeling is. You know, a practice that I started doing, I called it the magic rock. And here's a little rock I have right here in front of me right now. But I used to, you know, in the beginning, in the evening time, I would hold this and I would think of a moment during the day that I was really grateful for. And then I would think of a moment that I was going to have that I'd be really grateful for. So I would anchor that in the evening before I go to bed. And then in the morning, I would pick up my rock and do that same type of practice. Think of something happened a while ago, like it could be a week ago, a couple weeks ago, that I was really grateful for. And also something that you know, is happening in the future that I would be grateful for. And just that practice was just rewiring my brain. So I remember, 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 remember.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I love that.
That's actually really good. Yeah.
That makes me think of, I don't know specifically because I'm not trained in these modalities, but it makes me think of tapping or NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, because like having like an anchor of some sort, whether it's like, you know, having a certain mudra with your hands or having something physical, I mean, like tapping a certain part of your body, it like can activate that, that gratitude or that love or whatever emotion that you generate and connect to that experience. Like, I'm pretty sure that those modalities use that kind of experience. And then yours seems like your own unique one that you came up with a nice little rock crystal. I like
that. Yeah, definitely. And you use the body as well. Like now I do this, like I tap, move my hands like this, so I get myself into a state. And the NLP is that exact term or that exact science where you just hit your body and you can move into a state.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's kind of interesting too, because so we've been talking a lot about like these ideas of like emotions and gratitude and everything. And like, for me, like what's kind of popping up in my head now is, all right, like grounding it practically into like actually helping your body like heal and helping your mind heal. It's like when you enter these types of states of like profound gratitude, or, you know, you go through something difficult and you still like have hope and like you have something to kind of grasp onto, it has an actual effect on your nervous system, and it puts your nervous system back into the parasympathetic part of the nervous system, which is the rest and digest side of the nervous system, which is the opposite of the sympathetic nervous system, which is when we're stressed and we're feeling sick and we're feeling down and we're feeling hopeless. That part's activated because our body feels some sort of danger. And we're not supposed to stay in that part of the nervous system for too long, because then our body starts to deteriorate. And so like there actually is a super practical like outcome of being more positive and being more grateful. And I mean, Alex, maybe I saw that you did mention stuff about the vagus nerve and the nervous system in your book. And so maybe you can talk a little bit about that and, you know, how you felt that helped you in your healing too.
Definitely. I'm so glad you brought that up. Yeah. So the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous systems regulate your whole central nervous system. That gives you the ability to, you know, function in ways that you normally can and also mentally can. And for me, the vagus nerve was really wound up. So the vagus nerve attaches to the back of the brain, kind of like in the spinal cord. And it had caused so much inflammation from the COVID symptoms and also possibly the vaccine, that I wasn't able to fully unwind the vagus nerve. And so I had to find out, this is probably month 7 or 8, through practices like this, like the gratitude practices, through meditation, through stretching, and then also through body work with a chiropractor and massage therapist, to unwind like the muscles in the vagus nerve so I could begin to fully start to find that rhythm of happiness again. And it's so important to do, because there is science that backs this up of how to make sure that you can cleanse or clear up the parasympathetic system and give yourself that energy and those chemicals that can come from your brain oxytocin, serotonin, dopamine in particular, that can flush into your body and create happiness, create levels of energy, and create functionality.
Yeah. And the vagus nerve is the main nerve of the parasympathetic nervous system. And if you look up a chart, and you were mentioning it before about it, the parasympathetic and the sympathetic being like the main drivers of the central nervous system. And it's like those two systems basically connect to every single major organ in your body. And so a lot of the functions of our body that happen occur outside of our awareness. Like imagine if you ate a cheeseburger and you had to think about digesting it, like you would go crazy. And so your body takes over a lot of these automatic processes, and your nerve, like your, the interaction between your parasympathetic and your sympathetic, like it causes a lot of changes within your body with all these major organs. And so we want to be in the parasympathetic nervous system most of the time, because that's when our body can rest, digest, and heal. And so just having these practices of putting your body back into that state, like, goes a long way.
It's so true. Yeah, it's so true. And it's so important to continue to do anything that can get you back into that parasympathetic system, because your body can start overreacting. And a lot of times we get into the state of overreaction that just triggers the sympathetic nervous system so much that we're in a constant state of agitation. We don't know why. And until we start sitting and doing practices or going to exercise or finding the ways to move your body and get those chemicals flowing through your mind, you're going to probably feel reactive and agitated a lot more than calm and collected.
Yeah. Can you talk about some of the techniques that your the chiropractor and the massage therapist did? Just to, like, yeah, like the body work, because I think a lot of people also don't understand that as fully too. Like when they think about a massage, they think about it something like a self-care day or something. But like specific types of massage can be medicine because of the interaction your body and your muscles have with the nervous system. And so maybe you can talk a little bit about like kind of how you felt after and like the techniques that they use and stuff like that.
Yeah, this was a major transformation for me, actually. So my father, he was the one who helped me. So my dad works at a large medical facility. He's a chiropractor, and he works alongside medical doctors, and they transfer patients to each other who one side, Eastern and Western medicine, is coming together, but a lot of times they don't chat with each other. Well, my dad has a clinic with this big medical facility where they do chat with each other. And so when neurosurgeons can't figure out certain types of illnesses that are happening with patients, they'll send them to my dad to see if he can give some body work on their vagus nerve or any type of the nervous system to help them. And so I went to my dad for help, around month six or so, because I was still getting pretty sick consistently. And he started theorizing that COVID attacks the diaphragm. It makes the lungs shrink, essentially, and which lessens the blood flow up to your brain, and it causes your body to overreact into stress mode. And you start getting into fight or flight because you feel like you can't breathe as well. And that activates the vagus nerve overreaction, which continues to perpetuate the feelings of sickness that you have. So first thing he did was go into my diaphragm and start doing some massage work on the right side of my diaphragm. And I remember when he first started doing this, there were five trigger points, five acupuncture points that were right underneath the rib cage that he would work on. And the first time he touched it, it was so painful and it was so inflamed. And I was like, what the heck? And he started pushing on it. And then all of a sudden I felt blood flow just expand through my body. It was nuts. And then he did this other pressure point, just a little bit lower, and the same thing happened. And then he moved all the way down five points, and he was just doing this, just theorizing this. It's just like his thoughts process. My dad's pretty interesting. And then he goes into the psoas, which is the muscle that connects the diaphragm, which is on the hip. And the psoas also connects, the body's blood flow. So he found out that my blood flow was just restricted in my diaphragm and psoas, and it was causing me to overreact and then inflame my brain. And then also my vagus nerve. So, that I call it the miracle massage, because it, when I first got out of that, technique, when he's doing that, I remember just being like, holy cow, like I'm alive. Like I can feel like jumping up, and I felt like I could jump. I felt like I could move my head and like think clearly. And I was just amped up. And then, that began a whole unique set of processes for me to understand, like, holy shit, like this is like a whole thing. I didn't realize it was connected to my nervous system like this. And body work techniques, in either the back of the skull or underneath the rib cage, if you have long COVID, can be incredibly helpful just to loosen up the muscles that are causing so much strain around the vagus nerve. There's so much tension that can exist there. And you can have an activator or some type of massage on the base of your skull that can help. You can have a cranial sacral adjustment as well. Those loosen up the vagus nerve. But those are some of the techniques that really helped me.
That's awesome to hear, to be honest. That's really good. It's kind of interesting too, that process of like, when you're stressed out, then your muscles get tense, and then the tense muscles trap the nerves more. You know what I mean? It's like this whole like cycle, and a lot of times like working through the body actually is a great way, to bring about healing, like an indirect way to access the nervous system. I actually added something interesting too that I learned about the psoas muscle you were talking about, and you were saying that he released it and you felt better. Because the psoas muscle is one of the only muscles, I think it actually is the only muscle that connects like the upper and the lower part of the body. It starts in your back and then goes through your hip. And so it actually helps you lift your knee up, like your leg. And so like when you're stressed out, your body wants to go into like a fetal position, like you get smaller, right? And so your muscles tense up, and the psoas is one of those muscles that tense up. And so a lot of people that actually have back pain and chronic back pain, it's actually because they're overly stressed and that muscle needs to be released. And you can do some kind of like release on that with massage therapy or an activator or an acupuncture needle, and it can totally release that, help the back pain, just open up the whole body. So it's really interesting just to hear, you talk about that was something that he did. So just cool.
That's so cool. I didn't even know that. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I didn't know that you could crunch up like that. But that position, like I was in so much, just moving my shoulders and hunching my body like that. And it makes sense when I think about it in hindsight because it was like protective. Like I was like trying to get into protective
Exactly. Yeah.
state.
And
Yeah.
that's like the interesting thing too about that the nervous system interaction is that like your body's not going to be able to tell the difference between like you being attacked by a tiger and you feeling bad because you have COVID. Like the same exact process is going to go through, and so like your body is going to be like tensing for like some kind of attack, but meanwhile like it's the internal process that's causing you to be stressed. And so like changing the body is huge. Like working on the body is huge. So
So huge,
yeah.
man. It's so huge. Yeah. And it's so important to do that alongside other practices, and finding the people that can do that and help you is essential.
Yeah. I'm glad you had your dad to help you with that process. That's really cool.
Seriously.
Man, thank God. Yeah. I said to him a number of times, you kind of saved my life, Dad. He really did transform my whole state of being into a much higher place of hope because there were no doctors who could help. Like I was being referred to all these, different types of people, docs. And, it was my dad who ended up finding out what was going on. It was wild.
Yeah.
I saw that you gave a dedication to him in the beginning of your book. No surprise now to understand why.
He was there for me in such big ways, man. Love him so much.
I the next question I want to ask, I kind of want to get your thought process around like, once you started feeling better and you're realizing all these, it wasn't a one size fits all thing. Like you worked on it seems like a lot of things. It was like physical, mental, spiritual, like all these things work together. When was the point where you realized or had this idea that you were like, I really want to help people who are going through this too? Like, what was your thought process around that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I ended up, my whole life unraveled. So everything that I had built up to that point with, the external world, my relationships, my work, it all crumbled. I wasn't able to function and do work. So I was out of work for 6 months. So financially, I was beginning to get really stressed out. And then relationship-wise, with my girlfriend at the time, it was beginning to put a strain on her because she was taking care of me so much. So slowly but surely, my whole life that I had put together on the outside of what was really important to me that I, beforehand, it crumbled. And so I found myself thinking about what am I going to do? Like, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do with my life? Am I still supposed to be in finance? Who am I supposed to be connected to? I was questioning everything. And those questions, I started feeling sadness. And it was my sister who started just telling me, hey, there's people who have long COVID. Have you heard of this? And this was 2022, probably like in March or April. It's like long COVID. What is long COVID? And no one had really talked about this yet, but she started sending articles about long COVID. And I was re realizing that, holy cow, there are a ton of people who have felt like I have felt. And I started reading stories of same types of symptoms that they had. And then all these articles that were being published about people who were sick for months and months and months. I realized I wasn't alone. Up to that entire point, I thought I was alone. I didn't know that this was a thing that was happening to millions and millions of people over the world. And so I sat with that for a while and started connecting with people on Facebook groups first and foremost, and realizing like, okay, like I've now to this process that's further along than these people. How can I just give them information about what happened to me that can help them? So I just started messaging people on Facebook, on these groups, and there's hundreds of thousands of people in these groups. It's crazy. There's so many people who are sick with this. And then eventually, you know, in the summer of 2022, I went up to see my mom in the mountains of Colorado. And on the way up to see her, you know, everything had changed up to that point in my life. Everything has crumbled. I had a podcast that was just randomly put on, and it was an Ed Milet podcast that had Dean Graziosi on it. And he was talking about turning your mess into a message. And then that idea just clicked for me. I'm like, there it is. That's it. This is what I need to do. And I had a month off, you know, from work, and I was just in the mountains. And so I created this course, this video course. It's now this masterclass for people to help get through long COVID. But it was that trigger where I was like, okay, I was slowly beginning to help people in Facebook groups. And then all of a sudden took some space, went to the mountains. And then this podcast came out of nowhere, just dropped in my lap. And I was like, oh shit. Well, there we go. That's what I'm supposed to do.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Tell us about, because obviously, like, as we're coming up to the hour of this podcast, I mean, we've mentioned, like, touched on, like, oh, you have a book. I'd love for you to share what that is. And I'm still honestly blown away, like, when I found out that it was free, that you're giving it away. But obviously that leads into, like, if someone wants to dive deeper and actually have your support, then it's the master's class, like you said. So yep. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So the book goes through my entire story. You know, it's pretty raw. It starts with the story of what we talked about today, the physical, how I healed the physical. And I go through the different types of nutrients, all the different types of bodywork techniques. There's videos, there's different types of links in there that I share. And then I go into the mental process and how I help my mind. And then there's also some nutrients and supplements and also bodywork techniques and a lot of things that unravel through that point to get myself into the faith. And so I go into the faith and talk about the stories that happened to me. And from that point, you know, I go into community. And one of the most important things for me to experience the full cementing of healing was remembering that other people were also feeling this way and that I could help. And community began to find purpose for me. And so I thought, you know, I want to create a community for people to come to in case they need it, like I needed it. And that's what I have done. So I've created groups, you know, on Facebook and also through my masterclass where I'll do just these video classes and just chat with people, make sure they understand that they're not alone. And we'll do some live Facebook videos where people can come in and just join. And then from that point, you can dive into the masterclass if you want, go deep into my story from seeing me in videos and also me explaining a bit more in depth about all of this. And what I really want to do is just help people navigate all of this. So that's what the book is for people just to heal. And from that point, if they want to, they can dive further and connect with me and connect with community that's similar to them through my Facebook group and also through my masterclass.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. It's simple, but powerful, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I was looking through it. I know right before we hit record, I was sharing this with you, but still, again, blown away by the book that you created. It's like 60 to 70 pages. And again, it's free. So if anyone wants to download that or look into that, then the link for that, as well as it looks like the Facebook group, obviously your Instagram, you can download the book. And I'm assuming that the community and the master's class is like toward the end of the book, that if someone wants to check out that further, they can find it there.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And there's an index in the book too. So if you want to navigate through the book and just find whatever part of the process you're in, just go to that part and you can just click on whatever part you need and just dive in. And then I'll have my website is being launched, alexjmcfarlane.com. And that's going to be the part where all of the things are going to lead at the same page. So you can find all of that on that website.
Beautiful. And actually by the time this episode is released, that'll actually be available. So that link, as well as all the other links that we just mentioned, will be in the description of this episode if anyone wants to check that out.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that said, any final thoughts or messages that you wanted to share, Alex, from this whole conversation?
Yeah, appreciation to you both, you know, gratefulness to you both. Thank you for allowing me to share my story. And, you know, just if there's anyone out there who is feeling lost or feeling like they don't have answers, remember that you have people that are going to be your angels that you don't know about yet. And perhaps, you know, you'll find one soon. And don't ever give up hope. Don't ever, you know, stop remembering what you've come through and how important and sacred your life is. And continue to keep on walking. You got this.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, guys.
that's it for today. So thanks for tuning in. We really hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. So any questions, any comments, connect with us on Instagram personally at Kevin F. Carton
or at Chris J. Carton or our podcast or Instagram page at Science and Spirituality Podcast. And if you feel guided to, the one thing that we do ask is for you to please rate the podcast and also leave a review. This way we can reach more people and in that way impact more lives. So with that, we'll see you on the next episode.